Blog Talk Radio.
Gonna tell you a little bedtime tale, legend it will become. Burgers flying out the door, sail on. 2-for-1, no concern for the future, living for today. Fast food bite on your way, lay it all to waste. The masses are afflicted now. Moo, mad cow, mad cow. Mad cow, line dance song.
Hey, Sun Guy Nation, QT and Sun Guy back with you here on another Friday afternoon. Some show notes real quick if you're looking for some wrestling. Tonight, WCWO running as usual in Indianapolis, Indiana. Unprofessional wrestling in Indianapolis, Indiana as well. 3-2-1 having Battle Mania at the Showbox tonight in Seattle. NEW in Waterbury, Connecticut. RCW in South Bend, Indiana, APW in Winnemucca, Nevada, HVWA in Middletown, New York, IWR in Gainesville, Texas, and NSCW in Franklin, Kentucky, featuring Kevin Sullivan tonight. Tomorrow night, if you're looking for wrestling, MCW in Joppa, Maryland, SLW in Munford, Alabama, ECWA in Newcastle, Delaware, WXW in Mineola, Florida, RCW in Chatsworth, Georgia, Heroes and Legends in Fort Wayne, Indiana, NWP in Terre Haute, Indiana, PWA in Lancaster, Ohio, RPW in Marietta, Ohio, SSW in Carlisle, Pennsylvania, and the NFW happening in Hayward, Wisconsin tomorrow. Without further ado, I would like to bring our guest on today. He is the co-host of the Dave Dynasty Show, Ike Isaacs. Welcome to the show.
Hey, how's it going?
Doing very well. Now, since it is your first time with us, we're going to start things off with our traditional first-timers question. What led to you getting associated with this crazy business of professional wrestling?
That's a heavy question. I've always loved wrestling. Wrestling is something I've loved since I was a kid. Dave, fun fact about me and Dave in real life, he's my stepdad. He's a professional wrestler, so he was an early influence in my life. And, you know, he started a podcast, and I was like, I'm totally on board for that, and I jump right in with it.
Dave Dynasty is someone I'm extremely familiar with. I was there when he started in the professional wrestling business, and I'm familiar, but how familiar are you with what he did when he was actively involved in professional wrestling as a performer?
So I was around towards the tail end of his career, as he's talked about a few times. You know, he had an injury that, you know, ultimately stopped his, you know, professional career. So I was around towards the very end when I was really young. So I'm a little familiar, but not super familiarized with what he used to do. But, you know, I was there for a little bit when he was still performing.
Fair enough. Now, obviously, Dave has worn a lot of the different hats in professional wrestling, promoter, active wrestler, manager. He's done a lot in the business. When the two of you first launched the Dave Dynasty Show, did you find that him having been in so many roles was helpful as far as not only securing guests, but as far as being prepared to interview the guests?
Oh, yeah. I mean, you got to think. I mean, he obviously was in wrestling for a while, so a lot of the people that we got to interview, you know, he either knew as a worker or he knew as a manager, as he used to be. And, of course, you know, he was a promoter. He did MRW, which was Midwest Regional Wrestling, years ago. And he then he had another promotion more recently, and you know, he had a lot of, you know, contacts from those years that he was in the business. And even when he was in between promoting and wrestling, or promoting and promoting, he still had friends and contacts. So he almost had a steady stream of constant contact with all these people. And, you know, it's one of those things where I know a guy who knows a guy, and that's how we, you know, that's how we kind of roll. So it was extremely helpful, because I certainly didn't have anybody contact-wise.
Now, since you started with the Dave Dynasty show, you've interviewed everybody from legendary figures of the past, big name mainstream wrestlers, guys that are just starting out on the independents, guys that have made a career on the independent circuit. At any point in time interviewing all these guys, did you ever have the notion of perhaps going a little bit farther and maybe getting into a different area of professional wrestling?
Oh, you're asking if I've ever considered stepping into another field of wrestling other than the podcast portion?
Exactly.
You know, I briefly thought about it. I mean, I think as a kid, almost everybody goes out and they're like, oh, I want to be a professional wrestler. Well, I say almost everybody, but if you were like me, I grew up with wrestling. So of course I wanted to wrestle. You know, I wrestled with my brothers. But as I've learned, I'm not a very athletic person. So sports I liked, but if I ever did get into wrestling, I think managing would be fun. You know, I've gotten to, you know, talk with some managers on the Dave Dynasty. So most recently I talked to a young guy named Joey Dice, and he actually kind of spurred a little bit of a spark in me. And I've kind of thought about wanting to manage, you know, he's super young and he's doing it. And I'm like, you know, man, I'm not that old. I can still do that kind of thing. So I've thought about it. Absolutely.
On the manager end, obviously Dave has a lot of managerial experience. He started out as a manager years ago at Hoosier Pro Wrestling, managed a lot of guys when he was doing that portion of the business. Have you ever sat down and had that conversation, the pros and the cons about doing managing with Dave, or is it something that you considered without the consultation of Dave Dynasty?
You know, it's honestly something that it was kind of in passing at first, and it's kind of been something I've been mulling on for a while. But me and him have talked, I mean, with the podcast and outside the podcast about his career, you know, and he's always been very forward about, you know, even the dangers of being a manager. You know, obviously it's a very physical sport. Even being a manager can put you at risk. So, you know, we have talked about, you know, what it is to be a manager, what effects that can have on your body, but also just in general, you know, the possibilities, how it is to get into the business and that kind of that realm of it.
I mentioned all the varieties of guests that you've had. You've had a pretty big smorgasbord of guys that are in the business. We have found, of course, that every interview is different. Every person is different. They bring different things to your show when they come on. So with that said, who would you say has been your favorite interview to date?
Oh, man. That's hard. I think I would have... I have two probably favorites, but they're for very different reasons. The first one was when I got to interview, you know, Brian Pillman Jr. We were probably one of his first interviews, if not the first he had. And getting to talk to Brian Pillman Jr., I mean, it was an absolute honor. I mean, we got to talk a lot about his past, you know, and all of that. And, you know, he's an absolute delight. I mean, he's such a polite dude. He's so funny. And, you know, getting to see and talk to him before he went into wrestling, you know, when we talked, that was when he was first, like, starting training. I don't think he had started training yet. I think he had just contacted the people he was trying to contact. And, I mean, that was an incredible experience. And then the other one I really enjoyed was I actually – got to interview Ross and Marshall Von Erich. And as I've talked about before on the Dave Dines show, I love the Von Erich family. The stories, Kerry Von Erich is probably one of my favorite wrestlers of all time. And getting an interview lineage of the Von Erich family was incredibly amazing and very honored to do so as well. So those would probably be my two.
I just ran into Brian Pillman Jr. almost literally, but not quite, at WrestleCon, and he definitely was a very nice young man. Now, we have learned Oh, go ahead.
Oh, I was just going to say, yeah, I mean, I ran into him one other time other than our conversation was I was at a wrestling show in I can't remember where it was. It was northern Indiana, almost near Chicago. And Gary, he was at a show. I think it was Black Label Pro, and he was really cool dude. We got to see him in ring action. He was doing his thing, and it was really cool to meet him there too. But go ahead, I was gonna throw that out there. It was really cool to see him wrestle.
We've also learned from doing this for as long as we've been doing this on Turnbuckle Turmoil, sometimes things take a very unusual and a very odd turn when you're interviewing someone. Sometimes you get the unexpected when you're interviewing someone for the first time and you haven't really dealt much with them. What would you say has been the oddest interview that you've had?
Probably, and I obviously, I have sometimes have a character when I'm on the Dave Dynasty show, but in real life, I tend not to be a mean person, but with all respect, I don't even think this interview even made it into an actual podcast. I think they made it just as an exclusive to our YouTube channel, I believe. But I interviewed a fellow named Roddy Hogan, who's a super fan. I had never really heard of Roddy Hogan up until when I interviewed him. And when I interviewed him, it was – I wouldn't say it was weird. I think it was more I didn't know what to expect. He had a lot to talk about, and I really didn't get a lot in. But it was kind of an odd interview because then he started talking about a script that he was writing, and it was like a story that involved Hulk Hogan. And, it kind of took a weird turn, and it really – I don't even think it it turned into an actual interview. It was just something we put on YouTube for people to hear if they wanted to hear it. So that'd probably be the weirdest.
Hopefully I will find that link in my inbox at some point very soon.
Yeah, I'll have Dave send it to you because it was something, I'll tell you. I think he cut it up a little bit. I think it's a lot of just little short snippets of things he said because he and I talked for about an hour. But it was me piping in questions like every 20 minutes or so. So it's something.
In a similar vein to this, what would you say would be your dream interview, the person that you would most want to interview more than anyone else?
Oh, man. That's hard because I love so many people. I have a lot of favorite wrestlers. I think the one person alive today that I would probably interview if I had the chance to. Now you have me really thinking. I would probably have to go with, and I guess there's kind of a story behind this. But I would probably want to interview probably either Matt or Jeff Hardy. The reason for is I'm a huge Hardy Bros fan. That was, I grew up in the era, the Attitude Era of wrestling, and they were one of the, moving forward after the Attitude Era, they were one of the people that kind of hooked me even more to catch me back into wrestling, and they would be someone I would want to interview because I think Jeff Hardy has a pretty colored and checkered past, and with recent things that have come to light that he's been doing, It would be interesting to talk to him, but also Matt Hardy. He's such a versatile wrestler. He does the broken Matt Hardy thing, which would be fun to talk to him. So that'd probably be my dream interview.
I'm a little bit hurt that it wasn't me, but I'll let that slide and we'll just pretend like that would have been your second choice.
Top next, equal standing, my brother, equal standing. You would have been the next one.
I figured as much.
Right.
Now, anyone that's listened to the Dave Dynasty show, and if people are listening and have not, I encourage them to do so. In the last few months, you have taken a little bit of a turn from when you first started, and you're focusing a lot more on the Dick the Bruiser era of professional wrestling. You're bringing on Whatever Happened To segments to talk to some of the guys that were around when Dick the Bruiser was running Indiana as a territory, and the focus has shifted more towards the Midwest and Bruiser in particular. You also have Dr. Jerry Graham Jr. as a regular contributor to the show, and he, of course, was very active during that Dick the Bruiser era. As someone that wasn't around for that era, is learning more about the Dick the Bruiser territory something that you have enjoyed thus far, or is the Bruiser era something that is a little bit mysterious to you?
You know, I was born in 1995, so I was born way outside, you know, the Dick the Bruiser era. And, you know, quite frankly, I mean, it was a huge mystery to me as to what my, you know, Dave would talk about this. He would talk about, you know, the people that gave him inspiration when he would wrestle. And, you know, I had no idea who these people were. And then I start interviewing people and I'm like, so, wow, there is this entire world of wrestling. Like, to put into perspective, before a few years ago, I didn't really know that there was such a thing as territories. I thought it was just the WWE. I didn't know there was independent wrestling. Like, I was pretty ignorant to the outside world past what mainstream wrestling was. So learning that there is this really vast, deep history, not only in the Midwest, but, you know, all around the United States and the world prior to what I know as wrestling was incredible. It was eye-opening, to be real. I mean, I watch all these old videos now of the old Bruiser era, and I mean, it's insanity, and I love it. It's something I've really enjoyed doing. You know, it's been an honor to do so, but it's also just been really exciting too, because I'm seeing a whole new side of wrestling I had no idea that existed.
Dave has recently gone on a quest to get Scott Steiner to do an episode of the Dave Dynasty show. I don't know how familiar you are with a very young Scott Steiner as the WWA champion for Dick the Bruiser, but he was a completely different wrestler than he is currently, or even, say, 20 years ago when he was at his arguable prime. Have you studied much Scott Steiner from the Dick the Bruiser era?
I'm starting to, because with all projects, you know, anybody I interview, most of the people, you know, through conversations with Dave, I have a general, like, okay, I know who they are. You know, I've at least seen them wrestle before. So it's similar to Scott Steiner. Kind of like you said, I know him as the guy, you know, gibbering on TNA about, you know, giving 110%. You know, that's a Scott Steiner I know. And, you know, I am watching more of his older stuff, you know, when he was, you know, before the who he is now, you know, and I'm studying it more because hopefully, you know, our quest to talk to Scott Steiner is fruitful and we are able to, you know, reach him. And I would love to be able to have very intelligent conversations, or as intelligent conversation as possible, about that era, you know.
Have you seen his finishing move from that era?
You know, I have not. That is not something I've seen yet.
It is the most unique finisher I have ever seen in my entire life. I have seen many, many finishers, but Scott Steiner's was the most unique. Picture a young Scott Steiner who is probably 220-ish pounds at that point, going to the top rope, doing a 450, landing on his feet, and then dropping onto his opponent from the standing position.
You know, and like you said, you look at the current, like Scott Steiner, you know, the one that he owns, like, what, a Shoney's, right? Or what is it that he owns? He owns a Shoney's, right? That's like the restaurant he has. It's hard to imagine him doing that. But I think I have seen a GIF of that because I'm pretty sure that Dave has shown me that. I think he sends me stuff all the time, so I'm pretty sure I've seen that now that you mention it.
It was very, very different.
Yeah, I think that's an appropriate word.
Well, at this point in time, my co-host QT Vokes is standing by, and I know that QT has some questions for you, so does help you as I pass things along to QT.
Right on.
Well, thank you, Sun Guy. Hello, Ike.
Hey, how's it going?
It's going pretty good. Ike, what's the furthest you have traveled to a wrestling event?
Oh, boy. So I'm from Indiana. Right now, I've traveled to Chicago a few times to watch some Ring of Honor stuff. I've been quite a little bit over Indiana. I would say I've traveled quite a bit, but I've not really traveled outside like the Indiana, Illinois, Ohio area for wrestling yet. But that's pretty much Chicago would probably be the farthest that I've gone so far.
Oh, okay. All right, Chicago. Okay. What's the furthest you have been in the car with Dave Dynasty?
So a couple years ago, you know, I love wrestling, but I'm also a huge comic book, you know, fan. And I read, you know, manga, I rewatch anime. I'm like a 100% all around. I read and do everything. We actually took a 3-day bus trip to San Diego, California to go to a comic convention. So I've been been in a bus or a car with Dave Dynasty for 3 days straight. And let me tell you something. Dave Dynasty is not a very pleasant person when he is tired. So you can imagine 3 days in a bus.
Wow. 3 days. What was your first impressions of the West Coast? Even though San Diego doesn't quite give you the exact genoir of the West Coast. You made it to the West Coast. In theory, yes. What was your impression?
Yeah. I mean, I loved being in San Diego. I'm kind of like, I'm a halfway between like an introvert and an extrovert. So like I with all the people that were there, cause you know, there's a lot of people there. It was a little weird, a little uncomfortable, a little anxiety driven. But I mean, being there was really cool. Cause I'd never been that away, far away from home. And I mean, it was really cool. It was also, I loved the weather. It was like 70 to 80 degrees the entire time we were there. And, you know, in Indiana, it's like 20 degrees one day and 80 degrees the next. So it's it was nice having consistent weather for once.
Well, okay. All right. Now, you say you're halfway between an introvert and an extrovert. Would you yourself describe your personality as lukewarm water? Lukewarm water.
Right. You know, I wouldn't, because here's the thing. When I say halfway between, I can go out and I can, you know, be around people, talk to people, and I can do that all day long. But deep inside, I would much rather be at home watching, you know, WWE Network or Netflix or something. But I would say I'm an extrovert, but an introvert at heart. I think that makes more sense.
Oh, okay. I just asked that question because have you ever seen the movie Spinal Tap?
I have, but I remember Dave actually showed me that movie. Okay. We had it on DVD and I remember watching it in like the early 2000s. So like it's been a few years, so if you ask me something about that movie, I would probably tell you I have no idea.
Oh, okay. Well, I'm just saying, well, you probably don't remember when the lead guitarist and the singer weren't getting along. Nigel Tufnell and Derek Smalls. They weren't getting along. Do you remember that?
I cannot say.
Oh, okay. The bass player, who had a mustache and often dresses in leather on stage, was being interviewed, and he said that, yes, Nigel Tufnell and Derek Smalls had clashing personalities, and he, as a bass player, was like lukewarm water, a thermal layer. Yes.
Okay. I got you. I was told of the references that I should expect, and that is exactly what I thought. I've listened to your guys' podcast, and I got to say, you guys know your stuff.
We do, yes. Yes, and we come up with the good questions, you know, most 93% wrestling related. Very good. Okay. All right. Well, Mike, you spoke about territories. In the history of the United States, Indians also had their territories. The Sioux had their territory in North Dakota, the Apache in Arizona, the Iroquois in the Missouri area, the Lipans in the New York area, and the Cowlitz Indian tribe here in the Northwest, of whom I am a part member, the Cowlitz. My question is, are you familiar with the wrestlers Apache Bull Ramis and Chief Wahoo McDaniels?
So I've heard the name Chief Wahoo McDaniels. I have not heard the other name. I wouldn't say I'm familiar with either, but I have heard of the Chief. I have definitely heard of him in conversations with the many people I do talk to.
Oh, okay, well, Apache Bull Ramis used to feud with Dutch Savage in Portland wrestling back in the 60s and 70s, Apache Bull Ramis.
Okay.
And he used to cut very good promos where he said, white men speak with forked tongue, just like Dutch Savage. Yes.
Am I speaking in forked tongue?
Not that I know of, no. You don't remind me of a serpent or anything, you know. Yes.
I'm glad to hear that.
Oh, good. Okay. All right. Well, Ike, if you were in wrestling, what do you think your entrance music would be? Could it be you would choose The Ostrich by Steppenwolf? The Ostrich.
I've actually thought about this. Now, I've never heard that song, so I'll have to give it a listen and consider it. But I have actually given serious consideration to this, what my song would be. It would be I'm So Sorry by Imagine Dragons. It's a good song. But I will listen to The Ostrich by Steppenwolf, and I will see if that's a contender.
Oh, okay. All right. Okay, you might also check out Soul Kitchen by The Doors.
I have heard Soul Kitchen by The Doors. I do like The Doors. I will listen to that again and gaze upon its wonderfulness.
Oh, okay. And you might weep at its beauty. Yes. Okay.
Hopefully.
Rocky
Raccoon
by The Beatles?
Say that one more time.
How about Rocky Raccoon by The Beatles?
You said Rocky Raccoon by The Beatles. I have never heard that song. I'm going to have to get a piece of paper and start writing these down.
Oh, yes. Now, Rocky Raccoon is quite the departure from your average Beatles song and light years away from most of their love songs that they played in 64 and 65. Rocky Raccoon, yes.
Right on. I'm actually writing them down as we speak.
Good.
I'm being serious right now.
Oh, okay. I mean,
right,
I would.
I got it.
I'd pay some pretty big money if I could see you coming down the ramp to Rocky Raccoon by The Beatles. I'd give you a hot dog at an intermission, at one of your shows in Indiana.
Yes. You know, I love hot dogs, so I would have to take that with much pride.
Okay. All right. And the final one, would you ever consider Sex Farm Woman by Spinal Tap themselves? Sex Farm Woman.
You know, I've never heard that, but I'll have to take that into consideration too.
Oh, you've never, okay, all right, there's another, you've got four songs then that I would think
yes,
would
I
fit
do.
Your personality. Okay. All right.
I'm going to start listening to these and I'm going to learn all kinds of new stuff about me.
Yes, yeah, yeah. Now, if you could give Sign Guy some feedback on what your favorite of those four songs were, that would be okay. Yes.
I definitely will have to, like, send him a message and be like, all right, I listened to them. Here are my thoughts.
Well, yeah, now you see, that's something Sign Guy and myself have learned, that the interview does not stop at the one-hour mark. We have many homework assignments ourselves and contests that we run about some of our interviewees. In fact, Sign Guy and myself might run Guess Ike's four favorite songs as it pertains to his interview today. And we could list the four songs. And there's a lot of feedback on these contests now. Lots of feedback.
Okay.
Yes.
I think that would be a good contest, and I'm excited to see which one is going to be the best.
I think Dave Dynasty would even chime in on this. Yes, without consulting you.
Hopefully. I would expect nothing else.
Okay. Well, okay, I'll get together with Sun Guy sometime between now and 8 o'clock Pacific time and get this contest going. Yes, very important. All right. Okay. Well, Ike, have you ever rang the bell at any wrestling events?
You know, I've never. That is actually something that's on my bucket list. I would love to do that sometime.
Well, it can be quite exhilarating, let me tell you. Yes. Okay. All right. I myself broke into a bell ringing last week, and I consider that a stepping stone between now and my eventual one-time retirement match, because I'm starting to get up there chronologically in age. Yes. I think I got one more match left in me.
Rock on.
Okay. All right. Well, Ike, you said you wrestled your brothers. How many brothers were there? And did you set up a ring in your backyard?
So I have four brothers. I'm the oldest, so they're all younger than me. My two youngest but oldest brothers are only a year apart from me. But we would set up in our one of our rooms. We used to live in a house, and we had a pretty open, like, one of the rooms had a pretty open floor design. So we had put up all of our pillows, and we would, like, create, like, a wrestling room inside of our house because, you know, with a wrestler as a father, he knew that if we were wrestling, one of us was going to get hurt. So most of the time we had like an underground fight club type thing. So we didn't let anybody know. So we would set up our room and we would wrestle each other in our ring of pillows, if you will.
Oh, okay. How about bed mattresses?
I believe we had tried that a couple of times. But we found that was really loud. So like they would immediately know that we were like about to start wrestling each other if they heard the mattresses shifting around. So eventually we just had to take our bumps on the carpet.
Oh, wow. On the carpet. Okay. Now, were you mostly a heel or baby face, or I get the sense in talking to you, you might've been a tweener like lukewarm water.
I was. Absolutely. I had to play whatever role that I needed to play, man. This just depended on what brother it was. Some of the brothers, they were like, yeah, I'm going to be like, some of their favorites were, you know, Hulk Hogan or whatever. And I'd be like, you know, I'm just going to have to be like, I know one of my, I guess you could say personas when I used to wrestle as a kid, used to be like Stone Cold Steve Austin, who was truly a in-betweener. And when it came to heel and babyface.
Okay, once again, hence that layer of lukewarm water. Very nice. Okay. Okay. Did you ever at one point take on the persona of Big Van Vader?
You know, it's weird. Vader is one of my favorite wrestlers now, but when I was a kid, you know, you could have said that, and it would have just went right over my head, so I would say no to that.
Okay. All right. All right. Now, did you ever use a foreign object on one of your brothers, like a popsicle?
Never a popsicle. There were a couple of toy trucks that I would use. Very effective, though.
Oh, a toy truck. There's nothing like a Tonka truck upside the head to wake you up. Yes.
Those wheels, man, that's where it gets you. That traction, that's where it gets you.
Wow, all right, okay. Well, Ike, here's a standard question we ask on the Turnbuckle Turmoil Show. What was the mascot of your high school? Mascot.
Oh, man. So I went to I guess shout out to my fellow Columbus Signature Academy folks if they're listening. I went to a school called the Columbus Signature Academy, and weirdly enough, I don't think we had a mascot. We didn't have a mascot. We actually, there were two schools that were really close in proximity to us that we technically graduated from. So the school I technically graduated from was called North, and our mascot was a bulldog.
Oh, bulldog. Okay. Which bears the question and the natural progression into how did you like the British Bulldogs and their mascot Matilda?
I of course, you know, the British Bulldogs, you know, I'm one of those people that like I find wrestlers and I like them because of their stories. So like, you know, the stories that came from them and, you know, the obvious, you know, everything that happened, you know, yes, I do like the British Bulldog, long story short.
Oh, okay. Now, were you a big fan of wrestling manager Jim Cornette?
So he was another one of those in retrospect kind of things, especially now that he does like all the, you know, podcasts and he talks, you know, does the social media now. I really do like him because he's one of those people that really he just lets it loose. But yes, I've watched some of his old stuff and when he used to be actually like an active manager, and he is absolutely fantastic, and I can guarantee I'll laugh if I see him.
Oh, okay. All right. Well, do you recall what your school colors were? That's another question we ask. School colors.
Yes. So I know it, technically CSA, the school that I went to, which is called Columbus Signature Academy, I thought that their colors were red and white, if I'm not mistaken.
Oh, okay, red and white. Okay, very good. Okay. Well, Ike, do you have a women's expert on the Dave Dynasty Show? Sometimes Sign Guy is very good at calling in some of our women's experts to testify on our show. Women's expert.
So when you say women's expert, you mean like experts in women wrestling or women who are experts at wrestling?
Well, both.
We really don't. Not that I know of. But I have, obviously, I guess a little behind the scenes. We have, me and Dave have talked a little bit about that. You know, we have a referee on our show, Referee Man Bun. We have Mance Warner, our local psychopath. And, you know, we have, like you said, like we mentioned prior, Dr. Jerry Graham, Jerry Graham Jr., and we have myself. So, and we don't really have somebody like that yet. So, I mean, really open application.
Oh, okay. All right. Open application. Okay. Yeah. Well, Ike, Jerry the King Lawler had a quote about the great Khali. He said, "This man can make a horror movie without the makeup." My question is, what are your three favorite horror movies of all time, and was Kane in one of them? The wrestler Kane.
he, all right, so I'll answer that question first. No, he was not. I do remember the horror movie he was in. I do not remember the movie. I just remember it was super weird. But probably my three favorite horror movies of all time. Number three would probably be It Follows. It was one of those ones that came out a few years ago. I feel like it's super underrated. Nobody really talks about it, but it's super unique. And then I'm a very big Saw fan. So Saw 1 would probably be one of my favorite horror movies. And then my number one of all time is Nightmare on Elm Street, like the original with Johnny Depp.
Oh, can you repeat that? I didn't hear that.
Oh, the last one, my all-time favorite is A Nightmare on Elm Street, like the first one with like Johnny Depp and obviously, you know, Freddy.
Oh, okay. How about The Exorcist?
I do like The Exorcist. It was unique for its time. It was super controversial for its time as well. But I really like it. It was one of the first really like possession movies I ever saw. So it was a very good introduction to the genre. So I do really like that movie.
Oh, okay. Now, wasn't there a movie that came out a couple years ago where they sewed about five people together? They combined surgery and gene splicing, and they became a human caterpillar.
Yeah, it was the Human Centipede, I believe. And I had the unfortunate displeasure of having to watch one of those movies. And yeah, not very good, I don't think.
Oh, okay. Well, I can tell you that South Park's spoof on that was a lot funnier and lighthearted. South Park.
Oh, yes. Yes. The Human Centipede. I have seen that.
Oh, okay. Now, speaking of which, they've never really had a human centipede on WWE or Monday Night Raw. Human Centipede. There should be a niche for that, I believe. Yes.
You know, I would be probably a little scarred, but ironically enough, I feel like it may be well accepted.
Yes. Yes. Okay. I think so. All right. Well, Ike, Jake the Snake Roberts was quoted as saying, "When I die, it won't be from another's sword, but by the unstoppable heartbeat of dreams." This brings the question, can you tell our Turnbuckle Turmoil listeners what your resting pulse is?
My resting pulse. Like, honestly, no. I don't really know. I feel like that's something I should know, but I don't.
Oh, okay. Now, I know you told some guys that you weren't quite into sports in high school, and sometimes, you know, like if you're running track or cross country, the coach stops you after a lap and has you take your pulse.
Yeah, that's something I'm familiar with. I never personally ran cross country. I was more of a baseball guy. But, yeah, I am familiar with the concept of taking your pulse.
Oh, okay. All right. I'm going to guess that you played right field.
You know, good guess, but not quiet.
Oh, okay. Left field.
Nope, not in the outfield. I was a first baseman for most of my baseball career, or a pitcher for the latter half.
Wow, very good. Okay, what was the longest home run you hit?
You know, weirdly enough, I've never actually hit a home run. I remember, I don't even think I've ever hit I've hit balls to the fence, but I've never hit a home run. No, never.
Oh, okay. Wow. All right. Okay. Well, Ike, Jim Ross is like the Gene Simmons of wrestling. He is a businessman who produces many products, such as JR's Main Event Mustard, which has been described as the perfect tag team of jalapeno and honey mustard. He also produces JR's Chipotle Ketchup, JR's original barbecue sauce, and JR's hot barbecue sauce, which happens to be Stone Cold Steve Austin's favorite sauce of all of JR's sauces. Another of his products is JR's Triple Threat Teriyaki Beef Jerky and JR's Pepper Bowl Pepper Power Slam Beef Jerky and JR's Championship Original Beef Jerky. My question is, if you produced a line of your own barbecue sauce, what would you name it? Or would you go into business with Dave Dynasty and produce a sauce of your own?
I think I would. And I would probably make a – I think the name of it would have to be Lukewarm. It would have to be called Lukewarm. In honor of Turnbuckle Turmoil, it would have to be called Lukewarm. I'll have to get a little more creative, but it would have the word lukewarm in it. And it would be an infusion of the Mexican hot sauce Cholula and a traditional, like, Sweet Baby Ray's barbecue sauce. Like a little spicy, but a little sweet, just kind of lukewarm.
Wow, very good. I like that. I don't know where you came up with that lukewarm title, but it's, I like it. It sounds familiar. It's kind of like a peach mustard barbecue sauce or a cola barbecue sauce. I'd like to try those. Yes. Okay. Good. All right. Well, Ike, the first WWE Divas champion was Michelle McCool, who captured the title on July 20th, 2008, when she defeated Natalya at the Great American Bash. WWE retired the Divas Championship on April 3rd, 2016 at WrestleMania 32 in favor of the WWE Women's Championship. After Michelle Maurice captured the Divas title on December 22nd, 2008, then it was Mickie James on July 26, 2009. Jillian Hall captured the title on October 12, 2009, but then Melina took the title the same day. Then on February 22, 2010, Maurice captured her second Divas title. Other title holders included Alicia Fox, and one of Sign Guy's favorite, Brie Bella, and then Kelly, that also was a title holder, Nikki Bella, Beth Phoenix, and AJ Lee. My question is, who are some of your favorite Diva champs?
Diva champs. So that's a hard question. I mean, when I started watching wrestling, it was, you know, the era of Trish Stratus, Lita, and, you know, that generation. So I would probably say, hopefully I'm not butchering the question too much, but I would probably say Trish Stratus is one of them, just because she was one of the very first women's wrestlers or champions, if you will, that I ever really watched. So, you know, the first has always got to be one of your favorites. And then probably more recently, I am a fan of the Bella Sisters. Probably my favorite between the two, however, I would probably say that's a hard question too. I don't know. I think I'll have to go with Nikki Bella.
Oh, okay. All right. Now, didn't one of the sisters recently she have a breakup with a wrestler? They decided to call off the wedding.
Yep, it was Nikki Bella and John Cena. I was pretty tore up about that, I'll tell you.
Oh, now why were you tore up? Was John Cena one of your more favorite wrestlers, and you hoped he would have gone through with the wedding?
Well, you know, man, if I'm going to be honest with you, I'm not a huge fan of John Cena as a wrestler, but I find John Cena to be incredibly hilarious. I like his... You know, I'm probably going to get so much crap for this, but I love John Cena's acting. I think he's hilarious. So I was super bent out of shape. So I was like, man, I like Nikki Bella. She's pretty funny. She does her total Divas thing. But then John Cena is just this funny dude. Like, why are y'all breaking up? Come on now.
Oh, okay. All right. I could see that. Did you like the wrestler Goldust, who also had a sense of humor? Goldust.
Of course, I like Goldust. But, you know, I'm going to be honest with you with that, too. I like Goldust, but I hate that they're gimmicking him so much nowadays, because I feel like he's a good wrestler, and I feel like they're just using him for a sideshow. But, yes, I do like Goldust.
Oh, you there, QT?
Uh-oh, did we lose him?
I think so. QT, you with us? He must have dropped a call.
I think my comment about Goldust may have left him heartbroken.
It may have. It really may have. He loves his Goldust.
I think he must have been a huge fan of the Gold Dust and R-Truth, the Golden Truth. Didn't like me bashing him.
He really did, yeah. Well, one of the things on the Dave Dynasty show, like we touched on a little bit, was Dr. Jerry Graham's Corner. That's a little bit different segment from the other parts of the Dave Dynasty show, featuring, of course, Dr. Jerry Graham, and it's more of a historical part of the show. Do you know what led to getting Dr. Jerry Graham Jr. to be part of the Dave Dynasty show?
Well, I do remember, obviously, I interviewed him initially, and the interview went really well, obviously. He's a fantastic guy. He's really smart, obviously. He's a doctor after all. And you know, he was just a really, really nice guy. He was very open. I'm sorry.
I'm sorry. I got cut off. Somehow I received a phone call. I apologize for that. I don't know what happened. Well, I have one last question. How did you like the Raw and SmackDown draft, where some of the Raw wrestlers would come over to the SmackDown, and were you a big when Booker T got drafted and Eddie Guerrero was overjoyed because he would now have Booker T in his fold? Eddie Guerrero, when he welcomed Booker T.
So that was like old school too. That was like back when, not old school, but that was back when they first started doing the draft thing, wasn't it? Because that was before, obviously, the most recent split, where I was like, both of them were like mainstream media portions. Oh, did we lose him again? Or did my question, my rhetorical question blow him up a little bit?
I think it may have. He's huge on Booker T. But, I believe QT was asking about the draft from years ago. Were you a fan of the concept of the draft?
Oh, okay. So, I mean, I was to an extent. I think that it was one of those things, because I remember they would really hype it up, and they'd be like, oh, you know, hey, we're going to do this. And I liked the concept, but I think I liked it a little bit better. I mean, obviously, it's a little bit different when they did it more recently. But I liked it better how they did it this time around, how they were just, like, announcing them left and right. I didn't like how they made a big ordeal of it like it was the NFL draft. But I did like the concept, though. I thought it was really creative, and I obviously think that it wasn't as fruitful as it was recently, but, I mean, it was an interesting concept. It kept me entertained when I was younger.
Well, we're coming down to the last few moments of the show, and I want to make sure you have plenty of time. So if there's anything you would like to say to the listeners today, plug and promote anything and everything that you have, social medias, the websites for the Dave Dynasty show, where to find that, merchandising, your favorite bakery, anything in the world, floor is all yours.
Well, first of all, I want to thank you guys for letting me come on the show. This was my first interview in, like, the realm of me being Ike Isaacs and doing all of that. So it was really awesome to come on here and be able to talk to everybody. But obviously, go to, you know, thedavedynastyshow.com. That's where you can find all of my social media, as well as Dave's social media, as well as our, you know, Pro Wrestling Tees, Amazon.com, Patreon, and, you know, High Spots, all that good stuff on there. So check us out. Listen to our podcast. You know, I have my social medias as well. The ones that I'm trying to get more active on are Facebook and Twitter. Twitter is at Pint Size Beast, and my Facebook is under my shoot name. It's Isaac Brown. You can also look it up under Ike Isaacs. I'm not sure if there's too many people on there like that. And in terms of my favorite bakery, if you're ever in Muncie, Indiana, visit Con Cannon. It is fantastic.
Duly noted. Well, Ike, I want to thank you for being on the show today. It was a pleasure having you on there. And hopefully we will get your second most biggest dream interview on to the Dave Dynasty show at some time. It's one of my goals in life. I made myself, you know, get to Gouge. That was my only dream in life. I made it to Gouge. Now my dream to get to the Dave Dynasty show.
We're gonna have to. I mean, man, I've not done so many interviews in a little bit. I'm in a dry spell, so we gotta get somebody on there. And who better to get on there than you, yourself, and I would say you yourself and I, but that doesn't make any sense.
Well, it would be you, me, and myself. So yeah, it would work.
It would work. I'm not so much about the grammar, all of that, but yes, thank you so much for coming on, for letting me come on, and I really hope to get you on our show too, because I feel like that would make it a really interesting little conversation.
I think so, and I got some Dave Dynasty stories I could throw out there, if that helps.
That helps even better, because I want some dirt on Dave Dynasty.
All right. Well, fans, if you have not yet listened to the Dave Dynasty show, you need to remedy that. Go to DaveDynasty.com. Look them up on the YouTubes for the Dave Dynasty show. The Podcast Addict, there's a lot of avenues out there. You can find the Dave Dynasty show. It's top quality. Ike Isaacs does a fantastic job all the time with the interviews. I think you'll really enjoy what they do, especially if you're very familiar with the Midwest wrestling scene, be it from the past or be it current day. They focus heavily on that, so I think you'll enjoy it if you like the Midwest style of pro wrestling. And we will be back with you Sunday afternoon. This coming Sunday, we have Tootie Ramsey, a very young lady out of the Midwest who is making her debut with us. Very new to the professional wrestling business, so make sure you tune in to find out what she has to say, and we will talk to you then.